I found myself over the last week praying and talking to the Lord about focus. More particularly, where our focus needs to be. Because I want you to recognize that more often than not, what we focus on is not the we focus on the symptoms and not the root. When you go to the doctor, what does the doctor ask you? He wants to know your symptoms. But what he's trying to get to is the root cause of those symptoms. So as best possible, you want to be as accurate as you can in what you share. Now, unfortunately, medicine is a practice. That's why they say we practice medicine. It's not exact. Can I tell you that this walk is not exact? And what I mean by that is we are a people of faith. And oftentimes we understand as we go. You understand as you go. But when you go to the doctor and you tell him, well, I hurt here, whatever you're saying to him, I feel this, you know, then they're going through all they've learned to diagnose your symptoms. Sometimes they're right on point, they get it right. Other times, not so good. So I've been praying and I've been saying, God, help me, because a couple of weeks ago I spent time and I was talking about, and I'm still talking about it, but from a different perspective this morning, but we're talking about confronting the solution, a kingdom response to racism. And in that time of sharing, I talked to you about some of the different definitions that have to do with racism, bias, prejudice. Racism is the belief that all members of each race possess characteristics or abilities specific to that race, especially as to distinguish it as inferior or superior over another race or races. Then we deal with biases. It's prejudice in favor of or against one thing, person, or group compared to another, usually in a way considered to be unfair. Biases. We looked at John chapter 4, the woman at the well. She expected to be treated biasly by Jesus, but she wasn't. We looked at Acts the 10th chapter that had to do with Peter and Cornelius, when word came to Peter to go to Cornelius's house. But Peter struggled because Cornelius was a Gentile. He's dealing with a bias. And then there is also prejudice. It's a preconceived opinion that is based that is not based on reason or actual experience. Unjust behavior deriving from unfounded opinions. The other thing I talk to us about is what we call what's called mental models. They're deeply ingrained assumptions, generalizations, or even pictures and images that influence how we understand the world and how we take action. Mental models. Now, I've taken some weeks and talked about that, shared on that to give context and hopefully to help us really begin to understand some things from a clinical or psychological mental processing perspective, because we want and need that understanding. But we are in the middle of some things that we as the church, as the body of Christ, we must get it right. We must get it right. And so I found myself this week as I was just praying and talking to the Lord, and the way the Lord speaks to me is can be anytime, anywhere. I've just learned to put it in my phone till I sit down and can get really quiet. Most times when I'm working out is when I start hearing things. The Holy Spirit starts speaking things. I'm putting things in my phone even while I'm working out. I want to share a few scriptures, and then I want to talk to you about the thought that he spoke to me that I believe is most relevant for us. I'm talking about the church now, the body of Christ right now. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 5, it says this. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Verse 7, though, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. And then verse 9 says this, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. One translation says desperately wicked. Who can understand it? Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man, excuse me, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. And then I want to read from Mark. And I'm just giving us some foundation here. Scriptural foundation. Mark 7. Mark 7 and verse 14. Mark 7, verse 14 says this. And after he called the multitude to him again, he began saying to them, listen to me. All of you, and understand, there is nothing outside the man which going into him can defile him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile man. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And when leaving the multitude, he entered the house. His disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, are you lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is eliminated? In parentheses, thus he declared all foods clean. Verse 20, and he was saying, that which proceeds out of the mouth that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. And then the last passage, going back to Matthew now, going to Matthew 3, Matthew 12. Glory to God. Matthew 12, verse. Give me one second here. I want to make sure I'm where I want to be. Matthew 12, 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak of what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man, out of his good treasure, brings forth what is good. And the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings out what is evil. And I say to you, that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Father, I thank you for your word. You said your word would go forth and not return to you void, but accomplish that which you please and prosper whereunto the thing that you have sent it. So, Father, I pray now that you would breathe on this now in an unprecedented way, that what's spoken would be heard by many, received by many. In Jesus' name, amen. So the place that I found myself in, and I try to, read things on the internet, what different news outlets are saying. I watch different news outlets on television, and I recognize that all of them have their spin, all of them have their narrative, all of them have their commentary. And so I don't get caught up in any one particular station, one particular news outlet, one particular personality. I'm listening for the truth. I'm listening for the truth. And I keep praying even as I'm listening, God, help me to hear the truth in what's being shared. Help me to get out of this what I need to get out of it. If it's information, whatever it is, help me to get that. So that one, I can apply it in the way that I need to apply it. But secondly, I can share what I believe needs to be shared as a pastor and as an apostle. And so as I'm listening and I'm being given opportunity to speak into various situations, because a good part of my life, and I shared this in one of my messages, has been out of that place of being a bridge builder, reconciliation. I'm the guy that says, why can't we all get along? And then really try to help us to get along. And that goes all the way back to junior high school. Probably in elementary school, I don't know. I just know this, that I have weathered all of the situations I could take as it relates to dealing with racial issues and being treated a certain way. And I found myself saying, I don't want to talk anymore. I don't want to have any more conversations. And I felt like God began to say to me, Pastor Shaq, no, there's more to talk about. You just got to talk about the right thing. There's more conversation that's needed. You just have to have the right conversation, or else you're going to be misdiagnosing some things. We're going to deal with it from the symptoms, Andrea, and not really pull ourselves into the place of getting to the root of it. You can have an ache in one part of your body, but that ache is not where the problem is. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Those of you who understand. You can have something going on, but that's not where the problem is. The problem is somewhere else. And what you need is revelation. You need information that helps you come into a place where you can get to the root of the matter. Now, I know this sounds very, maybe oversimplified, but recognize the root of the matter goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The root of the matter goes back to when Adam sinned, when Adam fell. We all got contaminated. The scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody. And what we are dealing with today are symptoms, the fruit of sinful nature. And so I want to drive this point home for us, lest we get off point and miss what we really need to be focusing on. It's not the color of one's skin, it's the condition of one's heart. Let me say it again. It's not the color of one's skin. It's the condition of one's heart. Because you see, it doesn't matter whether you're in the White House or any other house. It's the condition of the heart. Doesn't matter whether you got a police uniform on or a ballet outfit. I don't care what it is. It's the condition of the heart. We've got to recognize that it's not what you got on. It's what's in your heart that has that brings about something that then can be, if you will, perceived as. Now, here's one of the dynamics that we deal with, though. You see, power, position, privilege, authority, it will always expose and magnify one's heart. That's why, you know, we have people who win the lottery. And you know what? Money tends to magnify who you really are. So people who are living in one state, one condition, can hit the lottery and get a lot of money, and it destroys them. Except that their heart has been redeemed, and they're living out of a place of a redeemed consciousness that causes the resources that come to them or the position that they're in through now having resources be more fruitful and more of a blessing than a curse. It's not the color of one's skin. It's the condition of one's heart. Hear me. That's the message of the kingdom. That's the message of the church. Now, are there steps that come with it? Absolutely. That's why we want born-again believers in positions of authority. That's why we need some saved folk operating in various roles and occupations. Because that way, that redeemed heart is producing life and not something less than. But if we're not careful, we're gonna miss it because we're looking at the smoke screen and not the root of the matter. It's playing out in our society. It's playing out before us. As black and white, people of color versus white. Listen, it's not the color of the skin, it's the condition of the heart. And when we go back and we look at down through history and we look through the civil rights movements and all those things going on, it wasn't just black folk. There were white folk there too, because their condition of their heart was one that allowed them to give themselves to the plight of someone else. What we cannot allow ourselves to do is be deceived. That moves us into a place where we talk about certain things, but we're not talking about the root of the matter. You see, for the church, what we've done in the past and what we continue to do, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, is still not getting to the root, though. So as churches and as congregations, we'll have joint services. So black folk and white folk, people of color, we'll all get together under the banner of Jesus, and we'll have a service, and then we'll all go back out into our separate ways. But what if for a season, say a season, what if for a season we say, listen, we are going to come together and we are going to get on our faces and we're going to cry out before God to purify our hearts. Show us our hearts. I know I've got some prejudice in me. Okay, y'all didn't say amen. Okay, but I know I still got issues. And it don't take a whole lot for those things to stir on the inside of me. Kevin, that's just where I'm at. and I love God, and I'm a pastor, and I'm saved, and I love people. I love all people, but I'm still navigating, and I've got to remind myself it's not the color of one's skin, it's the condition of one's heart. But when I look at what's been the message that's been sent over and over and over, we've been indoctrinated into certain things and not recognized that anesthetized. You've been lulled into a place and didn't know it. Our media has done that. Our entertainment has done that. And so what we need is we need a real heart transplant. We need our hearts to be changed. We need the transfiguration to take place that happens in the heart, not in the head. I know I still got issues when I watch movies like 12 Years a Slave. Anybody seen that movie, 12 Years a Slave? I watched that movie and wanted to go out and find somebody. I watched Harriet in the theater. And what you've got to know is if it's stirring something on the inside of you, it's a heart issue. I've had the privilege of teaching in what was called then diversity training, and I shared that with you. And then I was, and as I understand it now, it's just called anti-racism. Okay, let's just call it what it is, anti-racism. That's what it is. But I taught in these different settings, and having the privilege to teach in these settings, you're disseminating information. You're disseminating information. But I need to tell you, there's only one thing that'll change a heart. It's the gospel. You can hear data, and you can hear statistics, and you can hear historical accounts over and over and over. But until there's been a redemptive work in our hearts, we all run the risk of having something rise up on the inside of us. And so we learn, the scripture says that we must crucify our flesh. First scripture I ever learned as a believer was Galatians 2 and 20. Anybody know that scripture by heart, Galatians 2, 20? It's like, it'd be your favorite scripture. Put that up on the screen. First scripture I ever memorized. I don't know why, but I know why now. I'll just wait for it to put it up on the screen. You already know this scripture. You quote it probably a lot. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can't tell you how often that scripture just keeps popping up, particularly right about now. If we as the church, now I'm talking to the church now, I'm not talking to everybody, I'm talking about to the church, the body of Christ, because the scriptures make it clear that in Christ there is no Jew, no Greek, no bond, no free. We're talking about the church, though. We're talking about the church, though. And the truth of the matter is, I'm talking about as people of color, we got sold a bill of goods that there were men out of the evilness of their hearts took this book and used it against us. Now, that's just the reality. You see in that movie Harriet where the preacher is reading out of the scriptures where slaves obey your masters. And it was manipulated. But here's the thing, folks. It's not the color of the skin. It's the condition of one's heart. Because hear me now. Just as this book has been taken and used to manipulate, here, you can go over to Africa. And amongst blacks, this same book has been used to manipulate. How many of you have ever been to Africa? Let me see your hands. I see one hand. Just how many have been to Africa? Raise your hand. Two people? Okay. I'm just trying to gauge who I'm talking to here. Because we say we're African Americans, but you've never been there. You don't even know what it's like. You might want to rethink that. If you think so strongly about your roots, you need to get on a plane and go see home. Now, I've been there numerous times, so I can talk about it. And I've been in numerous countries there on the continent of Africa. And God is doing incredible things there. But we've got to deal with it for what it is. It's not the color of one's skin. It's the condition of one's heart. Because just as we want to point to and say the white man has enslaved blacks, blacks over there were selling each other to the whites. It's not the color of your skin. It's the condition of the heart. But when you are in a place of position and power and privilege and authority, it gives you the opportunity to exercise some things as a result of what's in your heart. And we will eventually express, manifest what's been sown deep into the soil of our hearts. Good, evil, right or wrong. That's why in the book of Proverbs, I'm going to Proverbs now, verse chapter 4. And this is just my introduction, y'all, so we're going to be on this for a little bit. Because this is what we've got to get right. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your hearts. Keep them in the midst of your hearts. Keep them in the midst of your hearts. He is saying, my word, keep them in the midst of your heart. God speaking to Joshua says, meditate on my word day and night. Meditate on my word day and night. You see, the analogy that I'd like to use is you have to see your heart like a garden. And what's planted in the garden is what's going to grow. The scripture, when it says here, keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Saying, keep my word in the midst of your heart. Joshua, meditate on my word day and night. Do not let my word depart from you. Why? Because the more word you have in you, the more calibrated you will be to the things of the kingdom. If you do not have a disciplined life in the word, and the most time you spend in the word is when you come on Sunday mornings, you run the risk of going the way of the world. However, if you have cultivated the kind of lifestyle where you have a daily relationship with God exhibited through obedience, and you're walking with the Lord and being led by the Holy Spirit, and you have a steady diet of the Word of God, you can hear some things, but they don't take root. Because you see, when a garden is adequately tended to, what's supposed to be in there growing will grow, and it's less likely that weeds grow up. Now, I learned this from watching Pastor Marisa. She does excellent work. She doesn't have just the green thumb. She got a green hand. And so she has beautiful beds that she has and knows when it's time to get weeds out. The challenge for many of us is that we live in a way where we are taking in things And seeds are being sown unintentionally, meaning you're receiving something unintentionally. It can be a movie that you watch. It can be music that you're listening to. It can be something that you're reading. It can be the news outlets that you're listening to. But if all of those things are not in their proper place, then you run the risk of going the way of the world. It says again, do not let them depart from your sight. I'm verse 21. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all, to their whole body. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence. King James says, keep your heart with all diligence. For from it flows the springs of life. And then it says, put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put away devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. What the writer here is doing, he's saying, keep your heart with all diligence. And then he says, and this is how you're going to be able to do it. So one of the things that we as the church are struggling with right now is, if we haven't learned to live this way, we really haven't lived from a kingdom perspective, there's a good chance we're going to give ourselves to some things that will really massage the symptom, but never get to the root of the matter. And I'm saying to us as heirs located in this area, we're here to get to the root of the matter. We're here to get to the root of the matter. Or else we will misread things. Those that were around Jesus, they didn't get it. They misread what he was saying. And because they were going about approaching it, Kelvin, the way that the system approached it, they were about to mess things up, or at least Peter was about to mess things up. Because in their minds, Jesus shows up. Jesus got this incredible grace operating on his life. He is God in the flesh. And he is going about, and people are drawn to him. They're drawn to what he's doing. And it's like he has this movement now. And he draws the 12 around him. He begins to impart to them. And in their minds, they're thinking, this kingdom is going to be incredible. That's why they're asking questions like, can I be on the right hand or on the left hand when you come into your kingdom? They're saying, I just want to be amongst that number. I want to sit in a place of authority with you. And Jesus is trying to help them understand, you're missing it. And they didn't get it. They didn't get it. That's why when they're coming out of the garden and the soldiers come, Peter takes and cuts off one of the ears of the soldiers. Because he's thinking, this is it. This we're engaging now. This is it. And Jesus stops him and says, hold up. You're messing up. Don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels and shut this down right now? And then Jesus goes and picks up the ear of the soldier and puts it back on him. Now, how many of you know that's about time? That's the time to rethink some things. As a matter of fact, the guard, the soldier that had the ear cut off that got his ear back on, if I was him, a sword in my hand, I'd be like, okay, I'm with you, Jesus. Okay. I mean, it had been over. But it wasn't. The reason why it wasn't over was the condition of the hearts of those who came to get it. It's not the color of one's skin, it's the condition of one's heart. And it's only through a redeemed heart that we will be able to experience true change, true transformation. Everything else will be legislated. Everything else will be a policy set in place. And at best, it will govern behavior. But I don't care who it is. I don't care what they got on. If their heart hasn't been changed, if they haven't been renewed in their spirit, man, they run the risk of taking that position and using it in an ungodly way. We have to recognize that this is so deeply entrenched and ingrained in us that it will only take supernatural power to break it. You can't teach somebody out of this. You can talk to them, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, change happens. But come on, let's be real, y'all. This has gone on so long that most of us, we've just gotten okay with it. Until it blows up like this. And there are those hoping and waiting that it settles down. Biding time that it just settles down. But we can't miss this moment. It's not your skin. It's your heart. It's not my skin. It's my heart. I would sit in some of the sessions that I would do, diversity training. Some of the companies, huge companies, I won't mention the names of companies. And the employees and the management that came in, they were there because, most of them, because, you know, it was mandatory that they be there if they're going to keep their job, that they go through this training. And I would watch them sit there, and many of them, a few of them, would genuinely give themselves to the material. Others, you could tell, they sat like this. So you know what I chose to do? I ain't focusing on you. Clearly, you don't want to hear this. I'm going to focus on everybody else. You see, what this said was, I'm not open to any of this. I'm just here because I got to be here. And it didn't matter what examples you put before them. Many of them would give excuses for the examples. As people of color, we can't get so focused on the color that we miss the root of the problem. As believers, we cannot allow ourselves to be drawn in to the symptom that we are not addressing. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the root of the problem. Part of our reality and the reason why things have started to shift the way that they have is that, you see, in our society, things will not change until those in power recognize the need to change. And that's why it is a good thing that we have whites marching with blacks and the numbers have increased. But hear me when I tell you this. I'm talking to the church now. I'm talking to the kingdom. I'm talking to the body of Christ. We must not be drawn into the other agendas that are attaching themselves in this moment. Things jumping on the bandwagon. Because there's a momentum. No, this comes back to the heart. Our cry needs to be like David in Psalms when he said, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Come on, say that. Create in me a clean. Come on, say it again. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. See, that's not a bad thing to say whether you're born again or not. That's not a bad thing to say. Hear me, because we are all continually bombarded by the things of our culture that continually impact us. And so we need to continually say, God, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit, so that all the weeds get pulled up. And it's the word that's the prominent and dominant thing operating in your life and in mine. With all diligence, keep your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Watch what you watch. I like to watch movies, but there's certain movies I know I can't watch that one. I stopped listening to a lot of music a long time ago. Because you see, even in the things that are put out through Hollywood, there's a narrative in there. And rarely do we find the kind of movies that really promote people of color as positively as they promote other things. As a matter of fact, we'll give awards for certain portrayals that are some of the worst portrayals of African Americans in any given situation. I'm not gonna say the movies because I don't want you to rush out and buy it so you can watch it. But there's some crazy stuff out there. And folks are getting Academy Awards for some of the craziest roles portrayed. But then movies that are out there that speak of life transformation. I saw recently an interview with Denzel Washington when he did the movie Malcolm X. And they blackballed that movie. They didn't want anything to do with that. That has to do with those who are in power. And it's unfortunate that is part of the reality. But hear me when I say to you, it comes back to not the color of one's skin, but the condition of one's heart. Because the truth is, with all this that's going on, if you live life any length of time outside of just your family, you know some folks that are of other ethnicities and other colors that you get along with quite fine. Come on, just three of y'all raise your hand. Just three of y'all did. I don't need everybody. Okay. They're like, I don't know what he's talking about. Yeah, we all do. We all do. Years ago when I was having the issue with the health challenge and with my prostate, and I was believing God for a certain amount of money, the first person to give was one of my white brothers, all the way out on the West Coast, and called me. He called me and said, listen, I know you're getting ready to have this procedure, and you know, you're probably gonna need some money, and told you, I'm sending you $5,000. And then said, and you let me know if you need anything else. You see, it's not the color of one's skin, it's the condition of one's heart. You do not want to have your worth wrapped up in the color of your skin. As people of color, we'll lose every time. So I have purpose to live out of the kingdom. I don't say I pastor a black church. I don't even know what that means. Somebody asked me one day, what's the color of your church? I said, I don't know. What color is that brick? Is that? But it's those subtle things that have separated us, black church, white church. What the? Anybody want to tell me where that came from? Don't let somebody draw you into that. I don't want to have joint services for the sake of filling a room with variety of colors, but not getting to the root of the matter. Let's talk about your heart. Let's talk about my heart. Because I still get angry when I watch some of those movies. And it tells me I'm not as saved as I think I am, but I'm going to get better. And when others can say the same thing about themselves, no, you weren't back there in those days. No, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, and I didn't either. But I'm still the one that's suffering as a result of those days. You're not. Because this thing is systemic and it's spiritual. And what I'm saying to heirs, we're going to engage this in the spirit. Thank God, Pastor Shaq is here. Pastor Shaq, tell me your name though. Your Pastor Shaquilla. This is Pastor Shaquilla. God's doing some tremendous things with her in the community, with young people. Pastor Shaquilla is the one weeks ago I told you there was a peaceful protest that was held, and some of us went over to it. She's the one that organized that, and it was evident by the folks that showed up that God has given her favor, and she's learned to live in a space that isn't based on the color of one's skin. But the reality is, we'll gather for those moments and then go right on back into our space, right on back into our world. Because all of us have some level of degree of uncomfortability, if that's a word, where we can, I can be uncomfortable for a 1 hour service. I can be a little anxious for a 90 minute service. But then I got to get back to my world. But can I tell y'all something? This is going to cost. Now. And we must be willing to pay the price. It's not the color of one's skin, it's the condition of one's heart. It's not the color of one's skin, it's the condition of one's heart. It's not the color of one's skin, it's the condition of one's heart. Jesus said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. So we can get together and we can say amen and praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. But your heart is really what's going to make the difference. And on that note, I'm going to stop right now and pick this up next week and see what says the Lord in moving forward.